Get Talent Podcast.
You ready to get started on this one?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this.
You sure you're ready to get started on this one?
Yeah.
I'm super one of my favorite topics.
Super pumped. I know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Get Talent Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cross, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danny Herskowitz. We are at Glomo, and today we are getting into one of my favorite topics. Danny, first, how are you doing today?
Doing great. It's beginning of spring. Everything's good.
Spring has sprung.
Yeah, spring has sprung. Exactly. Feels good. Feels good.
Something about it, man. Yeah.
I've looked How are you?
Though. I see green grass. I see flowers. Well, flowers aren't quite blooming. Trees got leaves on them, though. Things are happening out here. This is great. And you know what? It reminds me of new growth.
Yeah.
What is spring about? Spring is about the first shoots of green that we see, right?
Yeah.
And what else is green, Danny? Money.
Yeah, money.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So we're growing. We're making money out here. And you know who really drives the money, Danny?
Who's that?
Business development people. Yes,
they do. They do. They really do.
They really do. You know what? Love them or hate them.
You need them.
You can't live with them. Can't live without them.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So what are we talking about today, Danny?
We're talking about hiring business development candidate.
What?
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. No, it's crazy, but...
Scary. Scary. This kid is like the best of times, the worst of times. Hiring a business development person, literally on the phone with a client right before we hopped on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
You know we were doing this recording either, so...
Perfect timing because I was talking to the CEO of this company, and they're like, Ben, I got to tell you, look, we had a 30-minute call at the end. They're like, Ben, I got to tell you, they had this like weary voice. And they're like, man, the last few people I had in this role haven't worked out.
But you hear the trauma.
How do I know this time's going to be any different?
Yes, exactly.
They were beaten down.
Yeah.
Hiring business development people, Danny.
Yes, you can hear it in their voices for sure. And it was good we were there to talk it through with them, you know?
My shoulder is soaked through. They were crying on it so much. I'm going to have to change my undershirt right now because they were crying on my shoulder so much. But first, let's define for people, what is business development? I remember the first time somebody says, oh, I'm just a biz dev guy. I'm like, yeah, yeah, sure, sure. And then I went home and like Googled it. What does business development mean? What positions are we referring to?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously it's you know, the most important position, like we said, revenue generating can't function without a salesperson selling your products or services. So what we do is we recruit within the global mobility industry. Most of the roles that we work on are with different providers within the industry. So that could be a relocation management company or what we call RMCs. Corporate housing firms, moving, logistics, transportation, expatriate tax, and business immigration. So there's a lot of different areas, but they're always looking for strong sales talent.
Rainmakers, that's what we need. Doesn't matter what crop you're growing, Danny.
Yeah.
You need rain.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's very painful for a lot of clients, but that's where we're here to help. And I thought it'd be good, Ben, if you can give a little bit of an overview, given the fact that you were top sales leader within the industry before Glomo. So you can give some insight on some of these different positions, what do they look like, and maybe a little bit about the verticals as well.
When I look at this, when I think about the three types of salespeople that we like to represent, you have three types, basically. They fall into three buckets.
Mm-hmm.
One, you have the rainmaker, okay?
Yeah.
Two, you have the influencer, personal brand style person. And three, you have the up-and-comer. And these are three people that are kind of in various stages of their career. I'm going to define a little bit about these three types of people, okay? Because I've been thinking about this.
Yeah.
There's other types, too, but we don't represent those. Those are like types like overpriced, don't produce, lazy,
price
sucks. Though we don't work with those people. But the three types that we work with are the rainmaker, the influencer, and the up and comer. And they're all necessary and different, right? So I'm going to describe a little bit for you. Okay, number one, the rainmaker is the type of person that's been in this business for a long time. They are typically older. They have an established book of business that they've had for many years, sometimes decades. They spend a lot of time on the golf course. They spend a lot of time at expensive dinners, and they throw a lot of parties for their vast clientele.
Yeah.
They have books of business of millions of dollars, sometimes tens of millions of dollars, okay? They don't do a lot of classically hard work, right? They do a lot more of just maintaining what they've built over many years.
Right.
Their book of business is portable. It will follow them. They have personal relationships, deep personal relationships with people. They've gone to their weddings. They've gone to their bar mitzvahs. They've gone to, you know, their clients, their close personal friends. They've vacationed on the Jersey Shore together.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds. They've gone to the Catalina wine mixer in California. I mean, these are the types of relationships these people have, these rainmakers. Sometimes people think, when is this person going to retire? Okay. They've been doing this forever. And the answer is never. You can pry that book of business out of their cold, dead hands. Okay. They're never going to retire because they don't have to.
Yeah.
They can hang on to this book of business forever, right, because it's not going anywhere. Okay.
Yeah.
My grandfather passed away this year. He was a rainmaker in the transportation. He had a book of business that included companies like Spalding,
yeah,
Tyson Foods, and all sorts of stuff like this. And he had these client relationships for 40 years.
Wow.
He was selling for these people until he was 80 years old. And why give it up? You don't have to walk away from it. Nobody's going to take it away from you either. So you might as well just ride this thing off to the sunset. The second kind of person out here is the influencer personal brand person. Influencer personal brand person, and I was kind of this person in my approach. They cast a very broad net and they appeal to a big community and they use social media and they have a big personal brand. Sometimes people worry that their personal brand is bigger than the company brand. That's the fear with these people. The fear is that they're finicky and they're job hoppers as well, and they can get attracted by bright, shiny objects. These folks do a really quick job of gaining a lot of business. They have found a way to hack the system and shortcut all the hard work and many years of effort that the rainmakers put into it. And they want to go straight to the top and they want to shortcut all that. And we'll talk about why these people are really good and when you want to hire an influencer versus a rainmaker and vice versa. And then the last type is the up and comer. The up and comer is the young salesperson. They might be in their 20s still. They know enough to be dangerous. They know who the players in the business are and they understand how the pieces of the puzzle fit together. People don't know who they are yet though, but they will. And they're doing all the right things, right? They have really good fundamentals, okay? So now the question becomes, when and why do I hire these different types of people? A lot of clients come to us and they don't know which type of salesperson they should hire.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't understand where they are in their sales strategy and what they're trying to accomplish.
Yes.
So I'm gonna tell you, Danny. Can I tell them, Danny?
Tell them.
I'm gonna tell them.
Let's not hold back.
I'm gonna tell them.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place for each of these salespeople. Let's start with the rainmaker. When do you hire a rainmaker? You hire a rainmaker when you have a mature piece of business and a commoditized industry. Commoditized industry, the moving business, commoditized industry. Some might argue the immigration business. Places where there is a lot of sameness. Whenever your client's like, I don't really understand the difference between all y'all salespeople.
Okay.
That's when you want to hire a rainmaker. They're going to bring those personal relationships with them. Because like, let's be honest, right? If all these companies are the same, which one am I going to buy from? Well, my friend works at.
Yeah, the person. You're buying from the person.
I'm going
right?
to buy the person.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Now, they fit into places where the company they're going to is operationally excellent. They have to be able to service that business well and support the large book of business that they're going to bring on fairly quickly, right? So they have to be operationally excellent. They have to have good capacity and they have to be in a business that is very commoditized with a lot of savings.
Really interesting. I didn't even think of it that way. I would have thought a rainmaker was in a less mature business. You know, the way I understood it, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, less mature business. Let's talk about that. That's where you want an influencer. You want an influencer to go to a company that has no brand, that has that's a new entrant into the space. Maybe they're a tech company. Maybe they're a disruptor. Maybe they're doing things differently. Maybe they played over here in the government side and now they want to get into the national account corporate side.
Right, right.
Maybe they were a residential player and now they want to play in the national account or government side. And that's when you need an influencer to come in and say, hey, world, we're here. Y'all know me. I'm with them. Now you know them.
I see.
Right? So they transfer their influence to the company that they went to.
That makes a lot of sense.
They offer instant credibility on a wide scale to an entire marketplace.
And that's essential in the beginning of a business or a rebranding, right? Like you need that big.
You want those people when you go into a new market where nobody knows you.
Yeah.
And it's very cliquish and it's very relationship based and they're doing business with a bunch of rainmakers already. You need that splashy influencer type of salesperson to go in there and make a big splash and say, hey, world, we're here. Check this out. I'm the new bright and shiny object.
And there's not too many people like that. That's the thing.
That's very rare. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're one of the few, really, in this business.
Well, there's a bunch of people out there who are building communities and who are influencers in sub verticals. You know, I think one of the things that I was fortunate to do in the relocation space was to become kind of an influencer over multiple verticals.
Yes.
But there are influencers within, like, there's influencers in the corporate housing space.
Right.
Influencers in the moving space. There's influencers in the, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Sub verticals, right?
Exactly.
So you did the whole thing, right?
I kind of tried to boil the ocean, and I was a little bit early, so I was able to do that. But there's still a lot of really good influencer type people. Now, the downside with influencers and the knock on influencers is that they think, you know, some people think that they think that their brand, influencer's brand, is bigger than more important than the companies.
Yes.
They tend to be younger, and therefore they also tend to be a little more career mobile. The good side of that is they tend to be cheaper than the rainmaker.
Right, right, exactly.
They haven't actually discovered how to fully monetize their influence yet like the rainmaker has. So they're actually more affordable. Mm-hmm. So their best years are in front of them, not behind them. Because the knock on the rainmaker is that you're paying them for stuff they've done, not stuff they will do.
Right.
Influencers still on the front nine. They're still on the upswing, uptick of their career. So that's the influencer. And then the up and comer is earlier stage in their career than the influencer. We don't know yet if they're going to go a rainmaker, if they're going to go influencer. There's a small percentage chance that they could just crap out and go to a different industry, fail, become one of those types of sales people don't represent. The good thing about them is they're actually cheaper than the influencer is, because people don't know who they are. So they know who they know who clients are, but the clients don't always know who they are. They've had some provable success, though. This is important. Okay. You need that first taste of blood if you're a salesperson, right? You need to actually close some business before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've done that. That's the key with these up and comers. They've closed business and they know what they're talking about, and mm-hmm. they know who the buyers are and why they buy.
Yeah.
They just haven't found a way to scale it in the same way that the influencers and the buyers have.
They have their skills, right? They have the skills.
Yes. Now, when is this person the one to go for? This person has to be plugged into a mature business that's operationally excellent, where there's mentorship opportunities there.
Yes.
This person is plugged into businesses, well, where the founder CEO drives most of the sales today.
Mm.
Because this person will become the mentee for that person. Because the founder CEO can't always be the chief revenue officer.
Right.
At some point, they need to either cool it, chill out, retire, sell the business, run the business, do something besides being on the road and all that. So they need an up-and-comer to hand those opportunities off to and to kind of transition those relationships and kind of succession plan the business.
That makes a lot of sense. A lot.
Up-and-comers are also paired very well with rainmakers, right?
Mm.
Rainmakers, the person that's been doing it for 30 years, good up-and-comer, can learn at the knee of the rainmaker for 3 years.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting, too. I'm just thinking about the different types of, you know, ways you might view yourself. If you're an influencer, then it actually might be harder because you've already built this personal brand and you have these certain ways of viewing yourself as a salesperson. And you might not be, we talked about this last podcast, as coachable as somebody who's an up-and-comer who has like a completely clean slate. And the rainmaker could, it's a great coaching opportunity. I can totally see that.
Yes, exactly. The up-and-comer doesn't always pair well with the influencer sales type. Because the influencer sales side doesn't really have a lot of time for developing other people because they're developing their own career.
Right.
Still, people may confuse the two because they're both younger folks, right? So they may view them as a competitor, right?
Right.
You know, so they don't always play well with them. The up-and-comer is also important to join mature businesses because it gives the mature business access to a new generation of buyers. Mm-hmm. So the up-and-comer is going to be in the YP40 group at Worldwide ERC, right? They're going to be in the Young Professionals group. So while the rainmaker has been working for 30 years with the same client base, right, and has that locked down, they haven't done a good job of accessing the new buyers out there.
Mm, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you're getting new customers, and it's almost like starting a new business in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So those are the three types of business development people that we represent: the rainmaker, the influencer, and the up-and-comer. And there's a time and a place for each one. And one of the things I think that we do really well is identifying what time and place our client companies are at.
Yeah.
What type of person.
Yeah. I love, and also I love how you broke it down into three different personas. that's really helpful. And I think that's really what we did on this last call, right? You really just, you kind of really broke it down for them very realistically. This is what, these are the profiles, these are the options, and this is kind of what you need to pay for them, really, right? That's, I think that's the question that all these clients has. Okay, we have the three, you know, personas, but what's that going to cost me, right?
Well, and that's where our client was running into problems.
Yeah.
Because our client was a startup, but mm-hmm. they were hiring a rainmaker.
Yes.
And yes. Rainmaker wanted to transition their very traditional old school relationships into a startup, but the startup was not operationally excellent enough to receive those clients.
Mm.
And the rainmaker wasn't hungry enough to adapt their selling style to meet yeah. the product that they had. So it was a product person mismatch.
That's a mismatch, right?
Yeah. And you could hear the pain in the voice of the hiring manager because they'd spent all this money for over a year at $130,000 base and they hadn't gotten one single contract.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest fear when hiring a rainmaker is I'm going to spend all this money, guaranteed base money,
mm-hmm.
because rainmakers do require guaranteed basis.
Yep.
All right. And I'm not going to get the return. And it's a crapshoot because the sales cycle in B2B selling is, I mean, the sales cycle is a year, year and a half, 2 years, depending.
Yeah.
On the government side, it's even more. It's like 3, 4, 5 years contracting periods. So now you're carrying that $130,000 base for a year, 2 year, 3 year. That's an expensive proposition.
Yeah. That is
right. So that's why it's so scary for hiring managers when they're hiring business development people. That's why it's so key that you get the right type of person to suit your strategy.
And there's more, a bigger business can afford to keep the rainmaker for more year for those 3 years to get them ready, right?
Yes. So businesses have cycles, right? And cash cow is the ultimate cycle, right? So right. when a business is in cash cow phase, that means it's just kicking off cash.
Right.
Okay. And there's a lot of cash.
Right.
Being kicked off of this business at this point, right? They already know what they do. They have great clients. Things are running smoothly. And now with that cash, they can make a decision to say, do we want to take all this as earnings and distribute to shareholders? Or do we want to reinvest it in the business and go into a new line of business? Right. And in that case, they can afford a rainmaker, but they still have to ask themselves, are we operationally excellent enough to take them on? So typically you don't want to, your first sales hire is not typically a rainmaker. Your first sales hire to go into a business, a new market, should be an influencer.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like your first sales hire shouldn't be an up-and-comer either.
Yeah, that I totally get that. And it's like when you're first starting out, I once heard marketing comes before sales at first in a way. So that person's is doing the marketing and then the sales comes in after that, right? So
Yes, influencers create their own demand at scale.
Yeah. That's I love the way you broke that down. That makes it super easy for people to understand. That's great.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. Yeah, there's a lot there and happy to have conversations with people around what's best for them at what point. And hopefully we can clip this for people so they can hear this as well.
Cool. That sounds great. What's the best way that we can help them understand what they need, but also be realistic with them about what the marketplace, what they can demand from the marketplace? Essentially, from a
sense. Here's the thing, man. You know, everybody has to be really honest about where they're at.
Yeah.
Right? And that means we need to be honest with the client, but they need to be honest with where their business is.
Yeah.
And they need to receive that information when we give it. So,
I mean, yeah.
One of the key components of a successful relationship that we absolutely require from our clients is that we have respect and that they trust our expertise. Because when we make a recommendation, we tell them, listen, you're not ready for a rainmaker. They need to receive that, right? Or if we tell them, hey, an up-and-comer is just not going to work because you don't have I know you only want to pay $70,000, but that's an up-and-comer. And an up-and-comer is not going to work for you because you don't have any brand identity in the marketplace. You don't actually have product market fit yet. And you don't know what you're doing. You don't have training. You don't have mentorship. You don't, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't fit.
That could feel yeah, very easy.
Yeah, exactly. You're just going to throw away $70,000 plus benefits plus tax.
Right.
So they have to listen to that. So it's first partnering with the right talent firm, mm-hmm. the right recruiter, mm-hmm. The second thing is they need to respect, and the right recruiter, they have respect for them. Second thing is they need to listen and have a strategic conversation about where they're at in their business and what they're trying to accomplish. If you're just giving your recruiting firm a requisition and saying, hey, go find me a salesperson, and you're not having a conversation about what your strategy, what your company strategy is, you are missing the boat.
Yeah.
Do not hire salespeople without a strategy conversation.
Yeah, that's a mistake that we all make, to be honest. You know, even as recruiters, you know, I've made it earlier on where you say, a salesperson, great, I got a salesperson. You don't think about those personas, and it doesn't usually work out, right?
Yes. So you can hire inside salespeople, like call center people, into a call center that already exists without having a strategic level conversation.
Mm.
But if you're hiring an inside salesperson where there were no inside salespeople before, or you're hiring an outside salesperson, a B2B salesperson, or a B2G, it's the government, it's the business of government. Do not do that without having a strategy conversation.
Yeah.
Do not do that without the hiring manager being involved or the C-suite being involved and saying, here's what we're trying to accomplish. Because you're going to end up hiring the wrong type of salesperson.
Yeah.
I saw a firm out there that got so pissed off, I've said it, with the whole business-to-business salesperson, right? With all the rainmakers. They had 3 rainmakers on staff across the United States. And they were so irritated with the amount of money they were spending. They were so irritated with the amount of T&E, travel and expense, right, that they were spending out there on the road, going to all these conferences, buying all these dinners, et cetera, et cetera. That's what rainmakers do. They were so ticked off with this, they fired them all. Said, screw this, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Spending, you know, $500,000 a year on these people, not doing it anymore, keeping that money. I'm going to get 3 hungry inside salespeople to just cold call everybody and generate leads that way for our executive team, and we'll close them. It didn't work because it's a relationship business. And those inside salespeople didn't know what they were talking about. So while you weren't asking them to close the deal, you're asking them to open the opportunity. And so when they got on the phone with the decision maker, they didn't even know enough to ask the right questions to open the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another mismatch, a big one.
Another mismatch. So they overcorrected and went the other way with it.
It's kind of short-term thing.
And so now they, for the last 8 years, they've been ping-ponging back and forth between this up-and-comer strategy, wasting money the whole time, and none of them have worked.
That's crazy. And all the frustration that is caused between the 2 different parties for this mismatch, it's no one's fault. It's just, like you said, it's just not a good match. And you just
8 years of wasted time.
Yeah.
Over $1 million, maybe $2 million of salaries.
Affects your brand because people know kind of that movement. There's no stability.
You keep letting people go. People know about that.
Yeah. Everyone talks about that for sure.
The organizational fatigue as well, because all the people that have to support the salespeople and the sales strategy changes.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff happens. So it's really important that you understand the strategy of the business before you start making sales hires.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is work with a consultant who can develop a sales strategy that actually understands the business and the industry that you're in. Gosh, we get so many people from outside this industry who have no respect for the global mobility industry.
Yeah.
Who don't care, who are here to make a quick buck and don't have any respect for the relationships, the people, the way decisions are being made, the macroeconomic factors that impact it, the microeconomic factors that impact it. And they just come in and be like, oh, B2B, I got it. I worked at Dropbox. I can run a B2B sales force. That guy was bounced in 6 months.
Yeah, that ego just hurts him, right? You got to be willing to listen to the experts. That's it.
So much ego. And there's so much ego with salespeople.
Yes.
And then deciphering the you know, and you need your salespeople to be confident.
Yes.
And there's a thin line between the arrogance and confidence.
True. That's right. You need to have a little ego, right? You need a little of that, you know? There's a lot of things you need, right? There's a lot. I mean, we can do a whole, you know, podcast on that, but that's really true. I love all this.
Danny, let me ask you this. When you're talking to clients and they say, I want to hire a biz dev person, and after we've taken them through the strategic conversation and after we've taken them through making sure that they're getting the right type of person and they understand what they're going to need to do, what are some of the questions that you ask? This is where I always step aside and say, okay, now we've talked about the strategy. I'm going to let the professional ask you some more questions, and that's Danny, right? So I always step out of the way. Danny, what questions do you ask them?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is why we're such a great team, you know, and I would say, you know, what we want to know is what makes a good salesperson to them. So that's just what, based on what you're saying, I mean, a good salesperson, that's, we can't say that, right? Because that's, that could be dependent on so many different things, right?
Well, it's a good place to, it's a good way to start to find out what their baseline understanding is of the process.
What are the
we can, yeah, and then we can help them understand where they should be.
Yes, exactly. And then we go through those questions just like you did on that kind of, on that call before. And then I, you know, kind of jumped on that, which was, do you want someone more experienced? Do you want the rainmaker? Do you want the influencer? Or do you want the up and comer? Giving them reasons like you just did earlier of why, what are the benefits to those? And you know, giving them a really counsel on their business, kind of guiding them on where they should fit in based on our experience. You know, a lot of other a lot of things we want to know is, do they need to have industry experience? How important is that, right? In what we do, we've discovered as mobility, relocation, all the other verticals, having industry experience is, I think, in most cases, really important. I think it's very difficult if, you know, it may be in a very, like you saying before, maybe a more established business and they can come in an inside sales role, but you know, kind of these traditional sales roles that we place for, you know, we found that the industry experience is key.
If you're going to pay them like a rainmaker,
yeah,
or even like an influencer, yeah, they have to have industry experience. If they're willing to come in as a up and comer, then we can say, you know what, listen, you've been selling tires for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You're a career tire salesperson and you want to take a shot at this. Cool. Your base is 70,000. Here's a rich comp plan for you, a rich commission plan for you.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Exactly.
Because I understand that you're going to have to be learning on the job and it's going to take you 2 years to start paying for yourself. Mm. Whereas someone else with a book of business would take 6 months to a year.
Totally. That's 100%.
The problem is you end up getting these folks from other industries that don't have our industry experience and they want to be paid like rainmakers.
Yes, exactly. And they get in there and there's just, so that's another mismatch, right? Like that's oh, that happens all the time.
You made rain over there, but you over here now.
Yeah.
And you're not a rainmaker here.
No.
You're not even an influencer. I mean, think about the word influencer, right? How would it sound if the tire sales rep came into our business and became an influencer? It wouldn't work because they just don't know what to talk about and nobody knows.
Yeah. You need the years of experience. You need to start that process of being the up and comer and then move to that next kind of phase there. Totally. And I think once we go through those questions with them, then we want to understand the timeline. So one thing we're really good about is understanding, you know, kind of being realistic. When do you need the position filled? Keeping in mind that our industry is seasonal. You know, there's different periods of time where it's very difficult to train or hire a salesperson. There's, you know, you want to be prepared. You want this person to be set up for success. So being, you know, kind of talking that through with them, understanding what their timeline is. And then, so we work backwards. And then what we do is we want to know, just like we did, talked about in one of our other podcasts, the interview process, understand what that interview process is and how many steps, you know, how long, what's the timeline for that? And then I think that the other thing is to keep in mind is making sure those people on the interviews can also sell the candidate, because the business development person many times needs to be sold if they're an A player. Regardless of the three different personas, if they're an A player, they need to be sold just as much as they're selling you.
That is such a key point you made there, right? It's not, so many clients we talk to think that they're in the driver's seat. With sales reps, they know that they have the most portable skill set. If they truly can move business and bring business with them, they can walk into any company on the block with a book of business if they're really good and they can get a job and pay for themselves.
Yeah.
And we need to sell that person that this company is well positioned for them. They will be more successful and more happy and more self-actualized at this firm than they will be at the firm they're currently at or the dozen other firms that they could go to.
Exactly.
And their salespeople, they're already super well networked.
Mm-hmm.
Every conference they go to,
they're
probably having one conversation at least.
They don't even need a resume. They don't even have to put it together. It's just their name, right? That's it. It's conversation.
It's like, this is how it works. It's, I got this person. They closed $5 million of business last year. Are you interested in talking
to them? That's it, right?
Yes. How did you know? Yes, I actually am interested in talking to somebody that closed $5 million of business last year.
Yeah.
Just for my direct competitor. Yes, I'm super interested in that.
Yeah. Right.
So we have to sell the person more than selling the company on the person.
Yeah.
We have to sell the person on the company.
Any final words, Ben, on advice you would give to hiring managers that are looking to hire business development people right now?
You know, I would say don't spend more than you're comfortable spending. And I don't normally say this. Normally, I'm telling people they need to invest in talent.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. If you overextend yourself and you commit to a salary that's more than you can afford for 18 months, then if you spend that money and they're not paying for themselves in 18 months. I mean, and you cut ties in like 6 months because you don't like the way it's going.
Yeah.
Then you've just wasted the 6 months. You haven't saved the other 12. So I guess what I'm saying is understand there's a long sales cycle. Understand that it's going to take 18 months to see the return on this investment. Make sure that you are coming into the market at a level that you're comfortable coming in at. Just like you go to Vegas, right? You know, if you don't make a ton of money, don't sit at the $100 blackjack table.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that table's for some people. It's not for you. Go to the 15.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. And that's the reality of like the marketplace and what you can afford, what you can get as a client, right? Like buying a house or anything else. That's just what it is. And our job is to tell them, these are the three different personas, and here's what you need to pay for each of them. What do you want to do? Like, where, based on what we've told you. And it's, I love how simple it is when you think of it that way. It takes out so much confusion. Word we use all the time is clarity. I feel like on that last call with that client, you really were able to give them that, which I think they were really in desperate need of.
You have to work with a good recruitment partner. I think a lot of companies are afraid they're going to pay more money by working with a recruitment partner. And yes, you do pay that recruitment firm's fee, but you're also exposed to so many more quality candidates.
Yeah.
Right? And so with the exposure to so many different quality candidates, you understand that there's a wide market out there with a lot of folks who are at different levels. Yes, you get what you pay for, but you might find an $80,000 up-and-comer instead of that $120,000 rainmaker that's maybe not such a rainmaker after all. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this person at $80,000 is a third of the price less, you can now give them a 50% longer leash. And that may be the difference between closing the sales cycle, closing the business during the sales cycle or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, now sometimes you need to go out there and you need to pay $180,000 to get the person, but you're plugging them into a sure thing. You're taking them out of a competitor that does exactly the same thing you're doing and exactly the same space, and you're plugging them into your company, and that business, is a very high probability of it coming over. So
you
just have to work with the right recruiting partner that understands your business and understands what phase of your growth you're in and can recommend the right type of talent.
That's awesome. Great advice. Really great advice.
Thanks. I'm really passionate about this. I mean, as a rainmaker / influencer, I've gone through the phases. I've gone through up and comer where nobody knew who I was, to being kind of an influencer, being super active, to controlling a large, large amount of business and getting the $175,000, $190,000 base salary. You know, I've gone through the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
And I know what it takes at every phase. And they're all right for somebody. But you just want to make sure you get that.
Yeah, this is such a good podcast to save hiring managers and candidates a lot of headache and really to avoid a lot of disasters that tend to happen in these positions. So yeah, I would say definitely, listen to this podcast and also share it with people that are in sales and reach out to us, because we've got a lot of companies that are always looking for sales talent, even if they don't have a position available.
Yes.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah. Hit up Danny at Glomo.com. Hit me up, Ben at Glomo.com. Connect with both of us on LinkedIn. Our whole team is working on roles like this all the time. If we can help you, it would be, an honor to do so. I hope you like this. Please subscribe to this podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review. We appreciate it. We wouldn't have a podcast. Now we're on the 28th episode if it weren't for people like you who are listening. So thank you all for checking us out. We really appreciate it. If there's any topics you want us to cover in the future, hit us up and we will check that topic out and talk about it. Maybe we'll pick your topic one day.
Cool.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Get Talent Podcast.